Let's turn to Isaiah 6 again this morning. We looked at the first seven verses last week. We'll look at verses 8 through 13 today and finish the chapter. Last week we noted that Isaiah saw a vision of God's majestic holiness. He saw the Lord sitting on a throne. A throne is majestic. This throne was high and lifted up, more majestic than any other throne. And the train of his robe filled the entire temple. The temple is no small edifice. The longer the train, the greater the grandeur of the monarch. And this train, this monarch, is unsurpassed in his greatness. And around the throne and in the temple were the seraphim, the angels, who were crying out in antiphonal fashion to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory." And that majestic holiness, the sight, the surround sound, was just too much for Isaiah, and it became a terrifying holiness, and he pronounced a word of doom. He basically said, "I'm damned. I'm coming apart at the seams. Woe is me. I'm undone. I have unclean lips. I'm impure. I've seen the holy and righteous and exalted God." Fortunately, for Isaiah, that terrifying holiness soon became redeeming holiness. And God sent one of the angels to take a tong and pick one of the burning coals from the altar and touch his lips. And in so doing, in that painful moment, there was healing and there was forgiveness. And there was a moment of trauma that led to everlasting life and paradise for the prophet. So when it was all said and done, his sin was atoned for, and his guilt was taken away. However, all was not really said and done. There was still more to come. The Lord had a plan for Isaiah's life. We all like to speak of God having a wonderful plan for our lives. I'm not sure we'd call this one so wonderful. Let's pray, and then we'll see the story. Father, thank you for your loving kindness, and thank you for this word. We come before you weary. You are the refuge for our weary souls. And so give us rest, we who labor and are heavy laden. Give us rest as we study your word. Give us refreshment. Give us encouragement. Give us strength. Give us excitement about serving you, no matter the cost. And just help us, we pray. For your yoke is easy, and your burden is light, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Isaiah 6, beginning in verse 8. "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Go and say to this people, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive, make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed.' Then I said, 'How long, O Lord?' And he said, 'Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land, and though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump.'" Amen. "All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness like the flower of the field. The grass withers, flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." I want to talk about the prophet's willingness to go, his willingness to speak, and his willingness to stay for the long haul. Had to be a roller coaster for Isaiah. His king was dead. A good king for the most part, Uzziah. And Isaiah was seeking comfort and seeking some direction. And he got more than he bargained for as he saw the real king, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Notice first that Isaiah was willing to go. Verse 8. "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Did he hesitate? Did he say, well, let me go talk to my advisor, my accountant. Let me go talk to my preacher. Let me go talk to my friends. Give me a little while to think about it. John Calvin said, my heart I offer you, Lord, promptly and sincerely. And so it was with Isaiah. No pause, no hesitation. He understood what we must understand. If we're saved, we're sent. There's never a dichotomy between those two things. If we're saved, we're also sent. Because he didn't save us that we might put our light under a bushel. Did he? He saved us that we might let our light shine, that people may see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven. He saved us that we might go into all the world, commandment, by the way, a commandment known as the Great Commission, and make disciples, not just the preachers, everybody. If we're saved, we're sent. Isaiah didn't even need a commandment. He had this vision of God's majestic, terrifying, redeeming holiness, and he said, okay, sign me up today, right this second. Here am I, Lord, send me. You remember that great story about Peter, who'd been out fishing all night? He was a professional fisherman, but he hadn't had a very good night. They did a lot of fishing at night back then. How many fish had he caught? Zero. Nada. None. And along came Jesus and said, I'd like to borrow your boat to preach a sermon. And he preached the sermon, and Peter's up there washing the nets, which is a pretty big job, ready to go home and sleep. And Jesus, what did he do? He sent him back out into the water. He said, go out there and try again. Peter said, they're not biting. I'm the fisherman. You're the preacher. Stay in your lane, bro, as that commercial says. Stay in your lane, bro. But Peter acquiesced and reluctantly went back out and let down the nets, and all of a sudden there were fish all over the place. So much the nets were breaking, and they had to call their buddies, come out here and help us. And both boats were full of flopping fish. You just see the picture in your mind's eye. And Peter said a very interesting thing. Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I know what you'd have said. You'd have said, let's do it again tomorrow, Lord. We've got a good partnership going here. But Peter said, Peter was uncomfortable. Jesus didn't depart, though, did he? He didn't depart. He stayed right there, and he gave Peter a new vision, a new calling. If he was saved, he was sent to go and henceforth be fishers of men. And so he spent the rest of his life. My heart I offer you, Lord, promptly and sincerely. You know the story of William Wilberforce. You know how Wilberforce was saved, and then he asked a very important question everybody should ask. Has God saved my soul only to rescue me from hell? And he answered his own question and said, absolutely not. Christianity not only saves, Jesus not only saves, he also sends. Christianity not only saves, it also serves. And so he offered the Lord his heart promptly and sincerely and went on a one-man crusade, essentially. A very lonely crusade, a very difficult crusade in which he was ridiculed and criticized and lost so many different votes over a 20-year period before he was finally successful at eradicating the slave trade in the British Isles. You know, there's a pattern. I trust you notice the pattern. There's the revelation of God's holiness, which leads immediately to the recognition of our sinfulness, which in turn leads to the reception of amazing grace. And then the realization that we've been sent. That he didn't just save us to rescue our souls from hell. He saved us to use us, to let our light shine. And Isaiah, without hesitation, without pause, said, here am I, sign me up. Send me. Secondly, he was willing to speak. Verses 9 and 10, the Lord gave him the message. Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but don't understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their eyes heavy and blind their eyes. At this point, I wonder if Isaiah reconsidered. Say that again, Lord. Lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. If I'm reading that right, God didn't want these people to believe. He didn't want them to repent. He didn't want them to turn and be healed. Isaiah's calling was to go proclaim a message that would harden people's hearts. But you say, doesn't God have a wonderful plan for everybody's life? Doesn't God want everybody to be saved? That's popular theology. Esau might argue with you. Pharaoh might argue with you. Jacob, I love, but Esau, I hate it. For this very purpose, I raised up Pharaoh that I might display my justice. We forget often that God is every bit as glorified with a display of his holy justice, as David prayed earlier, as he is with a display of his amazing grace. Isaiah had a very difficult job description. His message was going to harden people's hearts. Someone says the same sun that softens clay, or softens wax, I'm sorry, hardens clay. The same sun. It softens wax, hardens clay. The same message that saves one person hardens another heart. It's a remarkable phenomenon. And in this case, the die was cast. And the outcome was already determined. And God was under these people were under the judgment of God. And so Isaiah's message was going to be never embraced. Never welcome. Much like Jesus. Why did Jesus preach in parables? You remember that, those parables? Why don't you speak plainly to us? Why did he speak in parables? Same reason. That hearing they may never understand, and seeing they may never perceive. So Isaiah had a very difficult job description. He was willing to go. And then God gave him the message and the results of that message. And basically was saying, these people are not going to respond to you. You know, every minister that I know wants a successful ministry. Now, what is a successful ministry? Most ministers define that as, the seats are filled. Church is full of people. Building a new building. Souls are being saved. Conversions are happening. New members are joining. Maybe the preacher gets a radio spot. Maybe he gets asked to write a book. Maybe he gets invited to go on a speaking tour. Maybe he makes a name, you know, for himself. That's successful ministry. But what about all the faithful missionaries that go and serve and preach and teach without any apparent results? You know the name Adoniram Judson, the first Protestant missionary from North America to Burma? First 6 years, he caught as many fish as Peter did that night. Nada, zero. No conversions. And during the first 6 years, he was put in prison and his baby boy died. No sooner was he released from prison than his wife and daughter died of spotted fever. Somebody would have said, you missed the will of God, brother. not supposed to be that way. We're not as smart as we think we are. He was right where God wanted him to be, as was Robert Moffat, who spent 10 years in Africa without a single convert, as was Charles Simeon, who wasn't a missionary, but was a pastor appointed to the Holy Trinity Church in Cambridge and spent 12 years preaching to absolutely empty pews. I'll say more about that later if I don't forget. Well, what about these people? Was that a successful ministry? Isaiah was willing to go. And Isaiah was willing to be faithful, willing to speak. Leave it at that. And finally, we see Isaiah was willing to stay. Because he asked the very same question you and I would have asked. Verse 11, then I said, how long, O Lord? Is this a summer ministry you're talking about here, Lord? Well, I'll go in June. I'll be back in August. Or is this a one-year internship? You know, seminaries require a one-year internship now. Or is this a kind of a three-year deal like that Westminster Chapel Church does? They have elders and deacons, and they serve three-year terms. How long, Lord? We can tolerate anything for a limited period of time, right? How long? Answer, until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste. And the Lord removes people far away. You know what this is talking about? The exile. When the Babylonians came to town and they took the southern kingdom captive and they burned the city and the temple and destroyed everything. And you know when that finally, it happened in stages essentially. And it began in the year 606 and it culminated in the year 587 or 586. Isaiah was long gone by then. Isaiah died decades earlier, so to be translated, what God was saying, Isaiah, for the rest of your life, this is no internship. This is no summer mission trip. This is the rest of your life. People are going to, despise you and dismiss your message. Was he ready to reconsider? Was he ready to be like good old Mr. Pliables in the Pilgrim's Progress? Remember Mr. Pliables? Walking arm in arm with Christian as they left the city of destruction, heading for the celestial city and talking of all the great things to come until a little difficulty arose and they fell into the slough of despond. And oh, Mr. Pliables would not have any of that. And he said to Christian, if I can ever get out of this place, you may have that brave new country all to yourself. And he left. Well, Isaiah was not one to leave. And the Lord said, this is going the way it's going to be for the rest of your life. They will despise you and dismiss your message. Things got better for Adoniram Judson. They usually get better if you hang in there long enough. And within the next 6 years, he had 18 converts. And things got better for Robert Moffat as well. And things got better for Charles Simeon. Charles Simeon was just a young man when he was appointed to that post at the Holy Trinity Church in Cambridge. Problem was, he believed the Bible. And he was conservative, and the church was very, very liberal. And the faculty in that town ostracized him. And the members of the church literally locked their pews. For 12 years, they locked their pews. So if anybody wanted to go to church to hear Charles Simeon, they had to stand over where Anthony and Winona are. They had to stand in the side aisles because everything else was locked. And then whenever Simeon would leave the services, the rowdy students would pelt him with rotten eggs. Did he miss the will of God? Or was he right where God wanted him to be? Things got better for him after those 12 years. He hung in there. And he kept faithfully preaching, and he actually wound up serving that church for 54 years. And when he died at the age of 77, he was so revered and so honored that they canceled all the classes on the campus, and all the shops and stores closed, and the mourners lined up four deep all around the town to pay their final respects to Charles Simeon. Things usually get better, but not, you see, not for Isaiah. Make the heart of this people dull. Make their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see and hear and understand and turn and be healed. Boy, how quickly can life change? Do you think Isaiah expected this when he got up that morning? Did he expect a vision of the majestic, terrifying, redeeming holiness of God? Did he expect to be sent? I mean, didn't he have plans, don't you think? Don't you have plans for today and plans for this week? Somebody says, how do you get God to laugh? How do you get God to laugh? That's right. Tell him your plans for tomorrow. Isaiah no doubt had plans, but God had other plans. And Isaiah was willing to go and willing to speak and willing to stay for the long haul, deliver the message that God had given him to give to a very dark nation. Father, we pray that you'd help us as well. We thank you for saving us, and we thank you for sending us. And we pray that you would bless our feeble efforts to serve you through Jesus Christ our Lord.